Amen. Thank you very much for that. That their offer goes to our camp fund for the summer. Kids, the older kids will be going to Pensacola, Teen and Stream again. The younger juniors will be headed up to Venture of Faith. Back to back again, juniors will be going the week after. There is a sign-up sheet over here already, some information for the men's retreat. It's on this bulletin board. So if you're going to go to that in April, I believe it's 11 to 12, the dates are, please sign up so we can get them the count, the head count. We'd love to have all our men go down there. It'll be near Tampa. Westside Baptist Church will be hosting it this time. Last year they had 450 men there, and I'm telling you, the preaching was outstanding. It was wonderful. Brother McCracken did a great job, and all the other men that preached with him as well. It was great. We had a lot of fun. Brother Victor brought back a dozen donuts right before we went to bed at like midnight there. Nobody wanted to sleep. But I tell you, we had a good time. And you would enjoy it, man. I'm telling you, it's not a long ride. We get down there an hour and a half. I think last year we stopped at Golden Corral and we all ate a big old meal before we got down there and had time of fellowship. But the preaching was worth it. If we'd have went just for the preaching, I'm telling you, it was really good. So look into that if you would. Again, good to have visitors here with us. I'm so thankful that you're here. I'm going to read something right fast. And if anybody except a teenager, if you're in youth zone tonight, do not answer this question because you know it right off the bat. But if you know this, I have a book up here I'd like to give you. If you know this here piece of paper, if you know the name of it. It says here, having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith in honor of our king and country, a voyage to plant the first, I'm going to stop there. You're in the teen class. Yes, ma'am? That's very, we'll accept that answer. A Mayflower compact. Signed in Plymouth there, and I tell you, it don't say nothing. I mean, that's our country right there. Just want to hope you enjoy that. Next time I'll get an apple. Teachers get apples. No, I'm kidding. But listen to that again right there. This is the document that they signed, the Mayflower Compact. This is the very beginning. It's more. Having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith in honor of our king and country. No wonder America was blessed. His whole purpose was to honor God, propagate the gospel. And I tell you, what an amazing, amazing thing that we have in front of us. It's citizenship in the best country in the world still today. But she's hurting. She's hurting for too long. We have not done what has been set forth from the very foundation of America to do. Honor God. That's what we were founded for. That document was signed by 102 people in 1620 to come here, not for economical gain. What's hurting us right now? Our economy's killing us. Why? Because we put our economy in place of God and not honoring God. I'm telling you, the benefits of honoring God are a blessing. So, I mean, this week in teen class, I started a movie, Monumental, with the kids. It's the history of America, where we came from. Appreciate it, Brother David. They're enjoying it. Last 2 weeks, we looked at Reclaiming Our Culture, a two-part video with Brother Ken Ham on what's happened in America. Why are we living like animals? Well, you believe you come from animals, you want to live like animals. So they've been getting a lot of stuff they're not getting in school the last month. And I tell you, I've enjoyed it. And I do appreciate it. Teach, y'all need to tell Brother Dave and Sister Pam, thank you. They donated that movie to the church. And when we get done with the church, you're welcome to check it out. That's available for you. You can take it and leave your credit card with me, and then bring it back and give your credit card back. No, I'm just kidding on that. But it is a wonderful, wonderful movie. Not a movie, a documentary, I might say. It's not a movie. It's history. And the teenagers enjoyed it. I stopped it right in a spot that had a secret. And then they wanted to watch some more on that. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We're going to get right into the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Don't forget, Brother Jim already announced, no visitation tomorrow night. And then next Sunday evening, the Ice Cream Fellowship say thank you to the cultures for all the blessing they've done for us. And been for us and been to us next week, bringing all the toppings you can get and want and desire, and we'll have a good time. We'll have a wonderful time of fellowship next Sunday evening. Next Sunday evening. I want to say again, thank you, church, for allowing me the opportunity to go down to Key West this weekend. What a blessing that was. I appreciate Brother Chase stepping in and filling the pulpit for us this Sunday. What a blessing that was this year, church, because the love gift that you presented to me for the 5 years of service here, anniversary in September, I was able to go see both my new grandchildren this year because of that, and I appreciate it. Without that, we could not have been able to. That was a blessing to be able to go see both. I know I have three, but on Colton being born and then Skyler being born this past week. That was able to be able to done because of your graciousness and generosity to me. I appreciate it to my family. Thank you very much. We're going to continue our studies in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 tonight. We'll begin in verse 15. We've been going verse by verse through the book of 1 Corinthians. And we're going to go down to verse number 22 tonight. We will not be long. We'll just get in here and look at this really close and get a good view of this portion of the scripture. Remember in chapter 12, we found that tongues were listed there, the tongues, but it was the last gift listed, spiritual gift listed. In chapter 13, we've noticed that there, and we learned in chapter 13 that there were just a temporary gift. And so, chapter 15, Paul lays out some regulations, some guidelines for speaking in tongues. And I have to understand this. If you're going to do a Bible study, you cannot start right there with that word tongues. You can't start with unknown languages, unknown tongues, and try to make a doctrine in it out of the book of Acts chapter number 2. You have to go back and you have to find out what tongues is and what... it's always from the beginning of the Word of God up to the end of the Word of God. When it talks about tongues, it's talking about languages. Languages. And of course, in Acts chapter 2, it names 17 of them. 17 different languages. But the miracle there was, it says it, that everyone heard them speak in their own language. There was a hearing miracle there. People overlooked that a lot. And then, of course, as we looked at last week in chapter 14, verses 1 through 14, we noticed that prophecy was definitely laid out there as the better gift and the one that we should use and desire because it's for edification and exhortation and comfort, according to verse number 3 there. And it lifts up, it builds up, and it encourages us to go on in our walk with the Lord. Now here in verse number 15, if you would, we'll read down to verse number 22. Follow along with me. We're offered a question in the very first verse here that we'll read, chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, verse number 15. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at the giving of thanks? Of course, amen is saying, I agree with that. I'm in agreement with that. Amen. Let's read on. Seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest. For thou verily givest things well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God. I speak with tongues more than ye all. Yet in the church I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and of other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet, for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Verse 22, wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. Tonight, as we get there and looking at this and understanding this, we see here that there has to be a demand for understanding. And that is what's given to us in the Scripture. It says there in verse number 15 that praying and singing should be with understanding. And I know that this is talking about a known language. It's talking about perhaps Brother Victor standing up back there speaking Spanish right now to the church. It wouldn't help us at all. It helps some of us. There's some here that do speak Spanish, and they would understand. If he said that in Spanish we were going to Taco Bell and going to get some burritos and some nachos, we'd all understand. That'd be edifying. That'd be helping us. But if he was just to stand up back there and begin to read 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 15 through 22, it wouldn't help us at all. It wouldn't help us. And again, if Sister Nancy would come up here and begin to sing, as she has in the past, she sung a song with her guitar, and she sung one verse in Spanish and that same verse in English, it was helpful for all of us. It really was. But if she was to sit here and to sing the whole song in Spanish, it would not be very helpful to the whole church. Though many of you, probably not me, could pick out the tune and follow along. If you were singing a very common song, Nothing But the Blood or Amazing Grace, you would know it, because that is something that's instilled in our heart. But if she was singing a song that was not, it would not be helpful to us. It would be helpful to her being able to. And God, of course, would understand. But when we're inside here, there needs to be praying and singing with understanding, so everybody can understand. Everybody can follow along. Everybody can enjoy and say amen. I'm in agreement with Nothing But the Blood. Amen, preacher. I'm in agreement that Jesus saves and He's the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. So that would be exciting. But I'm going to go just a step further. I'm not going to get anti-biblical here. Not at all. I'm going to stay on target. I'm going to tell you, church, when we pray in English, we need to pray with understanding. We need to pray in understanding that we have access to God because of the Lord Jesus Christ and the help of the Holy Spirit. We pray to the Father. And people around us need to know who we're praying to. They need to understand that. Our songs. Church, listen to me. There's places for all kinds of songs. I mean, songs and music, listen. It's a wide variety of things that goes on. But listen, when we're singing in here to the body of believers, we're gathered as a church. We're huddled up as a church. We're not here as a jazz aerobic class. We're not here as a vacation Bible school class. We're not here as a children's romper room class. We're here gathered as the body of believers of Lock Haven Baptist Church. We need to sing songs that are understandable. What do you mean, preacher? I mean, when we get up here, we need to quit away from this, I'm thankful for him. Because him could be many, many people. I'm a him. Brother Johnson's a him. What's wrong? We need to get to understand. Hey, he's singing about Jesus. Well, how do they know that? Because we mention the name of Jesus. There's nothing wrong with a bunch of songs that, that use them where they're proper and in their place. But when we sing and we pray, we need to pray not only in a known language, but we need to pray so everybody understands, hey, that person knows God. That lady, she's singing about Jesus. And not her husband, not her boyfriend. He's singing about Jesus or God, not his girlfriend. We can be mistaken. We have to be careful. We have to be very careful that we understand there's a proper place for everything. When we join ourselves together as a church, it needs to be that whenever visitors come in, they have an absolute knowledge of who we're praying to, who we're talking to, who we're singing to. Or else, what did it say last week? We'd sing as a barbarian. We'd sing as, to them as somebody that is a little off the shelf a little bit. I'm trying to say this politically correct. For instance, I'm not missing a few French fries. I'm missing all of them. I just got the carton. Some people just missing a few French fries out of their happy meal. Well, Pastor, I'm telling you, I'm walking around with just a cart. So I have to be careful that you understand what I'm talking about. We need to pray. We need to sing with understanding. In a known language. And also in our language. No wonder people don't know how to talk to God. You know, the Bible teaches us to age women. It's supposed to teach the younger women. The aged men are supposed to teach the younger men. That's why we call upon men of maturity, men that's walked with God, to pray. So these young boys can learn to pray. That's why we have people, we ask them, listen, prepare your heart for singing. It's not just to come up here and to show how good of a voice you've got. I'll be honest. There's a lot of folks that's got good voices in the singing world, but it ain't doing nothing for the Spirit. It ain't stirring my soul. It ain't stirring up that fire in me, giving me another step forward to go on. So we got to prepare the heart. So praying and singing should be done with understanding. Verses 16 and 17, the Bible says there, else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupy the room of the unlearned say amen at the giving of thanks, seeing he understand not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. Somebody will stand up in a foreign language and, I mean, pray to God and pour out their soul into their heart to God and be broken and contrite before a holy and righteous God. And we're thinking, maybe they're having a nervous breakdown. Maybe there's something troubling them. We can't understand. We can't even say amen. What are we going to say? We're going to stand and listen. That's why it's important to understand this. And I'm so thankful that whenever Paul got down here by the guidance of the Holy Spirit of God, in verse 19 he says, yet in the church. Where do you find most of these folks that speak in tongues, doing their speaking in tongues in? In their church. I mean, isn't that amazing? Yet Paul covered it very carefully by the guidance of the Holy Spirit of God right here. Verse 18, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than y'all. Let me tell you, Paul was a very educated man. But when he was speaking to Greeks, let me tell you, dear friend, he spoke Greek. When he's speaking to Roman citizens that could speak Greek, he spoke Greek with them. If they could speak another language, he knew he spoke that language with them. That's what's very important. Many times when we go out visiting and knocking doors and talking with people about the Lord Jesus Christ and inviting them to the house of God, if you run across somebody that knows a foreign language, hey, it's not time to get into a five-hour Bible study with them. Be kind, be honest, be open with them. Write down their name and their number and say, hey, Brother Victor, I've got this visit. It'd be a good visit if you go by because we crossed lines. I didn't know. Hey, Brother Raul, I met this Filipino and listen, we were crossed paths. Maybe you can talk to him in Tagalog. That's what needs to happen. Go back with them too. Introduce them. Hey, let me tell you, I've got this friend at church and I'd like to bring him by and visit. And you bring him by and visit with them together. The other day, I went visiting with Brother Peters. I had visited several houses with him the other day and had a blessed time with him and visiting with those folks. And Lord willing, both of them are critical with cancer. Lord willing, they're going to be here. One of them is going to be here this Sunday. And he told me, he said, well, this one man, he's from Cuba. And I'm thinking, okay, I hope he speaks English and we can talk because I don't know that I'll get to see him again. Don't know that I'll be able to come. And we got over here, boy, he could speak perfect English. Matter of fact, his English was better, much better than mine. But I was thinking already in my mind, how in the world can I get somebody else that speaks Spanish to come by and visit with him? That's important that we understand that that's what we need to do. Paul said, listen, though I speak with tongues more than y'all, what did he say in the next verse? Where am I? What verse did we go? 19. Yet in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. I'll step a little across on this one too. An empty wagon makes a whole lot of noise. And sometimes, if y'all hear me rattling on and rattling on, it's because I'm empty and just making noise. And the back side is very important for the top side to be able to understand. And if I hold you here 2.5 hours rattling, I haven't helped you at all. And what I'm saying is, church, that when we're talking with people about godly things, you've got to be aware and sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. There's a verse in Proverbs, and I forget which chapter and which verse, but it says something like this. About removing your feet from your neighbor's house, lest they hate you. When we get an opportunity to talk to people, you have to understand people are busy. People are tired. You're not on the road. You're out visiting. You're spending time with them. Listen, it's not a good thing to tarry there until 10:30 at night. Yeah. And the kids come in, Mom, I'm hungry. Shh. I'm telling you, when my wife was growing up, if neighbors was to come over to their house at supper time and supper was on the stove, and she said to her mama, Mom, I'm hungry. When they left, when the neighbors, it was good if they left. Sometimes it wasn't so. But she was getting in trouble. You were not rushing people off. Church, we have to be sensitive. If visitors come into the house of God, the doors are open, Let's talk to them about the love of Christ, about our church, point this out, but be sensitive to them. Very sensitive. It's better to speak 5 words that they understand than 10,000 words that when they leave here, they think, my soul, what a Bible conference. And you only talk with them for 25, 35 minutes. Same thing with someone that is of another language. Get the message there and stop. Get the message there. Paul said, listen, 5 words of understanding. Teacher, have you ever got into class and just started rambling? And you find everybody just there, but not engaged? Be careful. We want to teach them the Word. They can only handle so much. Verse number 21. And the law is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto these people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore, tongues are not... Back up to verse 20. This is a good one. I'm going to stop. We may stop at 20 because we're getting close time. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. Do you understand what malice is? Malice is to regard with extreme ill. You know how children are. Children can be playing together, and they can spend time together, and that one has a toy that this one wants, and boy, they'll tear into that toy, they want that toy, and they'll be fighting like cats and dogs. Then the fight done got both their minds off that toy. They both see something else they want, and they go start playing over there and playing over there. They done forgot about the fight. That's not how adults work, is it? Man, we have grudges we hold them for decades. Decades. Look at that again. Brethren, be not children in understanding. We get bothered by some of the least of things that contrary to the Bible, we get to walking in, if we're not walking in the light of the Word of God, and somebody says, we get easily offended. This day and age, everybody's easily offended. I mean, just be men. Be mature is what he's saying. Be grown up. People are different. That's the whole problem with all this texting and Facebooking. I mean, sometimes my wife texts something to me, and I'm thinking, man, I'm in the doghouse. Oh, what in the world I've done did? And I'll be pondering, be thinking, what have I done? Like, she'll write a K. I tell her, I'm on the way home, I'll be home in about 30 minutes, and I'll get a response, K. Okay. Now I'm in trouble. And I'm thinking on the way home, what did I do wrong this morning? Did I leave something by the door? Did I didn't put the dog? What did I do? That's the whole problem. We just need to understand. We need to be men. We need to be grown up. We need to be mature in our understanding. Understand, Brother Johnson's a little different than I am, and his ways are different than my ways. And you know, what he says does not have to offend me. We don't have to be like that. We need to be like little children. Hey, when it's done, it's done. Just let it be. Let it be. The other day I saw something, and I told Brother Price I should have printed this out. He's talking about a man and a woman. And we're going to close with this little illustration. A man and a woman. She's planning to go out on the evening and have a dinner out at a restaurant. They both keep diaries. His diary, her diary. And he gets there to the house and he comes in and he's quiet, doesn't say much. goes, gets a shower, changes, gets clothes on. How you doing, hon? I'm doing fine. How was today? It was okay. And they go out to eat. And he's sitting there at the table, and he's picking through his food, and the conversation is quiet and everything. And she's wondering, something's up. What's going on? They get back to the house, turn on a little TV, or watch a little TV together, and he's still quiet. She says, something wrong? Something happened? No, nothing's wrong. Everything's okay. And he's just sitting quiet. Later on that night, she goes to bed, and he goes to bed, and she gets her diary book out. She begins to write in her diary book, and she says, something's definitely wrong, whatever day it was. We were supposed to have a good meal, go out to the evening. I'm wondering if he's met somebody at work. I'm wondering where his mind's at. Is he seeing somebody? He's got to be seeing somebody because he didn't even eat his food. He must have went out and ate with them before then. He's had a late lunch. And man, her diary goes on. It's a whole big old page, 3 or 4 pages filled up. His diary. Motorcycle won't start. What will I do? Lack of communication. Communication is important. We're to communicate the Word of God. Sometimes we don't communicate too well, do we? Sometimes we think we've got to impress the other person. Paul, an educated man as he was, said, not with enticing words do I come with you, but with power and of the Holy Spirit of God. Church, I'm going to tell you what we need to do. We need to spend more time preparing our hearts and our lives for the service of God and allow God to use us as honorable vessels that we can make a difference in the lives of people in our community. How are they going to do that, preacher? The greatest of these three is what? Charity. This last one. But we got to speak in tongues. We got to show ourselves spiritual. Remember, two Wednesday nights I told you about spiritual gifts and natural abilities? Spiritual gifts glorify God. Natural abilities glorify myself. Understand why? Verse 22. Wherefore tongues are the sign, are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. Whatever case you find with a church or denomination that promotes tongues in a charismatic way, who are they always speaking in tongues to? Believers. They say they're all believers, but they're speaking in tongues to believers. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. They're coming to an end. Remember, this book, when it was closed and canonized in AD 1996, there was no more need. You just read it. Look into the perfect law of liberty. That which is perfect had came. At this point in time, there was still a need and a use for tongues. Not now, in the time of the Bible, this writing. That's why Paul didn't say, hey, stop that. Because in verse chapter 13, verse 8, he says, when that which is perfect is come. So at this time, what's he doing? He's regulating. Because it became a problem. It became a problem. He said, hey, in the church, stop all that. Stop it. Next week we'll pick up verse number 23 and stand our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Pianist is coming on her way.